Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today, saying good morning to my sister Sharon out there. Good morning, Sharon and Cindy. God bless you, Misty. And from Alaska, welcome to the broadcast today. We've got about an hour and 30 minutes to get through a lot of information. I'm going to begin today's broadcast a little bit earlier with a prophetic word that was written back in October of 2019, October 28th, 2019. I shared this on the broadcast back then. If you were to go back and do some research, I brought this word out and I just found it again. And I thought, well, how interesting. You know, it seems to tie into what's happened since October 2019. And so let's dive into it. And once again, as we're getting going here, just want to say good morning to Chuck. Good morning to you, Chuck Eastridge. Good morning, Sonia. God bless you. And to our friends out there, Misty again, and Sharon and Cindy, blessings to you. We're so glad that you're tuned in today. I know we have all seen most likely the video of what happened in Minnesota. Okay, we need to understand what this is all about, where four white policemen had killed a man, a black man, by keeping his knee on his neck for about 10 minutes, and the man died. And there has been outrage ever since. And last night there were protests and stores being burned down, and there's that linchpin again. Here comes that spirit of anarchy that I believe is connected to the second wave that we will see. So they're priming the pump. Once again, we've seen this before. We saw this in Missouri. Remember, you never forget what happened in Missouri with the first protest in the community, and I'm right near St. Louis, Ferguson, Missouri. And then we saw what happened in Baltimore, and then we noted what happened in different places throughout the country as we came to the 2016 election. So it's not unfamiliar territory. It's been here before, but there's an added element in our country today and around the world, and that added element is that people have been in lockdown for a very long time. And even though there's a slow opening going right now, we knew that a second wave would come. We'll see where it goes. It was a very sad story, what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as we understand it right now. That was a horrible thing. The man should have been allowed up. There's no doubt about that. He should have been put in the police car regardless. You had enough police officers there to be able to assist him into the vehicle. So we have an issue. We have a real big issue in our country. And quite frankly, for a brief moment, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, But for a brief moment, you know, you could feel the pang, you could feel the hurt, you could feel the pain. But what we learned a long time ago is God said, get rid of that emotion. And I've shared that story many times about, perhaps you haven't heard it, when I was in a veterinarian of all places with my little dog, Max, and it was like somebody said, ready, action. And a woman got out of her Cadillac Escalade out in the parking lot. That's what her vehicle was, because I saw it afterwards this event happened. And it was, again, on cue. And all of a sudden, you could hear this wailing. And she's screaming. Oh, she, I mean, she's really wailing. She walked through the first set of doors. And then she opened the door into the veterinarian's office where I was sitting. And by the time she got in there, the wailing was so incredible. And there she was holding a little black cat. And the black cat must have been her pet, and it must have died. And she came in, and the women behind the desk, three of them, came out to say, what's going on? And they took the cat. Her wailing was so intense, I started to go there. And I started to, I was ready to bawl my eyes out. I didn't even know what she was crying about. I mean, I eventually I saw the black cat and all of that. And the Holy Spirit checked me, and he said, put it away. Don't go there. And so immediately I was checked by the Holy Spirit. I did not respond. And the Holy Spirit began to teach me that the time is coming that right beneath the skin, right, this little skin right here, right beneath the skin of every human being is a layer called panic. There's a layer called panic. It's called sudden fear in the Bible, sudden alarm, sudden fear. And so what God has been teaching me personally and what we wanted to instruct the body of Christ in these last days where there will be fearful sights that men will actually lose heart and, you know, men's hearts will fail for fear of what they see coming upon the pike. And sudden fear is a horrible thing. And so the teaching of the Holy Spirit is to deal with that layer of panic and get deeper than that immediately. And so rather than going emotionally into her vibration, if you will, I went down deep into the Holy Spirit, began to pray in tongues and kept myself, because if I had gone along in her emotion, in that solical realm of her emotion, which was obvious, here was this very wealthy woman in her Cadillac Escalade, and she's wailing, and there's no stopping what's going on in her. I would have got caught into it. And what the Holy Spirit said is with the events that are coming, like what we saw in Minneapolis and what we've seen in different places, the horror of what's happened to little children, the horror of abortion, the horror of murder, the horror of all these evil things that go on in society, emotionally, if we get engaged, we're going to become very vulnerable. We're going to leave ourselves exposed. And what God is saying, it's like what he said to the prophet Ezekiel. He said, your wife is going to die, but don't you shed a tear. I mean, that's very powerful. It's what God is saying to us as the body of Christ. Get past the layer called panic and go down deep into the spirit and deal with the issues that your eyes are going to see, your ears are going to hear. And so, again, you know, for that brief moment, you know, watching what happened and listening, the grief is there. I mean, there's no doubt there's grief. There's a spiritual grief and there's a solical grief. And this spiritual grief, I just wonder from the Father's heart sometimes what he really feels when these things take place. But anyways, we have that. I believe it again is the beginning of the second wave. We know that four waves are coming. One is passing. The next comes. As Brother Michael said, we're talking about the four sword judgments of the Lord. The waves will come in sets, and they're not long apart. The one comes, and then immediately the other follows. And we're seeing that begin to develop right now. But what I thought was interesting was on October 28th, 2019, I wrote this word. And again, for those of you that don't know our ministry, my pastor before he passed away, Pastor R. Paul Carroll, he had spoken into my life and said that I had a writing ministry. And he said, you need to write. You need to write everything that God shows you. And so since 1992, after he passed away, I became the pastor of the church, and I've been pastoring ever since. But right around 1998, I began to do exactly what I was told to do. I started to write. And I was getting words that were coming into my heart, and so I would write them out. Today I have over, you know, nearly 1,500 pages, over 1,000 pages, whatever it is, of prophecies that are actually being compiled and put into a book. And the mystery behind that is amazing, because what I wrote 16 years ago, 18 years ago, 15 years ago, 14 years ago, it's like headline news today. And I just know that's the Holy Spirit. And it was an assignment for me to begin to write. So I haven't done as much writing in the last few years, but every once in a while I'll get a prompting and I'll start to write. And so on October 28th, 2019, I wrote a prophecy called the Millstone Prophecy. The Millstone Prophecy. And here's what it said. Like a millstone around the neck and cast into the sea, so shall America be plunged into the depth of horror. That's a hard word. And I want you to notice, and I may have written it here. I haven't read it, refreshed myself with it lately. I'm going to be reading with you today. But what I do know about the millstone prophecy, there are some scriptures about millstone, but the heavy duty one is all about it'd be better to have a millstone wrapped around your neck than to offend one of these little ones. And when we saw the Jeffrey Epstein reality of the pedophile island and what was going on with the high-powered politicians from around the world, I mean, that is cause for a millstone to be wrapped around the neck, and especially if it's coming from Washington, D.C. and other power points throughout the country or the nations, as we have seen. This is it. So God prompted my heart. I wrote it. Oh, America, you have not provoked ISIS or other terror organizations around the world, but you have provoked me, saith the Lord. I have heard of all the ugly things you have done, yet I have come down unto you to see if what I have heard was true. And you, like the sons of Sodom and Gomorrah, have testified against yourselves that you are cruel and defiant and lewd. Therefore, I am releasing a millstone from the heavens and binding you to it, saith the Lord, and you shall drown in the violence of your evil ways. You have offended my heart like your harlot mother, who also denied my presence in exchange for the glory of nations. And I tell you now that your glory shall be turned into shame and disgrace. Your nation shall weep and bemoan the loss of many. Now, again, this is back in October. This is at the same time, which I wasn't aware of then, when Operation 201 from Bill Gates simulating a corona outbreak, scenario was going on. I had no idea about that. So here is the writing. You ask, how have we offended you, or what evil have we done? You have offended the little ones, and their blood testifies against you. You have murdered and slaughtered the most innocent, and have made booty of the children, and have given them over to the perverse actions of the most perverse people within your society. I have used your enemies within your gates to expose what you would not, and you shall see the covers ripped off and the nakedness of your shame exposed. So obviously God is talking about abortion. You know, I keep hearing so many different numbers, and 40 million babies have been aborted since 73, 50 million babies, 90 million babies, 500 million babies around the world through Planned Parenthood, through the population control agenda, which was one of the outreaches of that agenda. The reality is one is too many, and 1,000 is not enough, or 100 million is not enough, or 500 million is not enough. Listen, that's a lot of people dead. 500 million babies is a nation. There's 360 million people in the United States of America. We have wiped out an entire nation of people that God said, from his perspective, before you were formed in the womb. In other words, you were tissue, you were blood, you were cells, and life is in the blood. So you had life. We have murdered a nation of innocent blood. And then when they have survived the abortion and became little children, Then we turn them over to the desires of the sick, twisted, and demented individuals who like to drink their blood because there's some kind of life force in it, who take their body parts and use it for their own eternal youth. I mean, it gets insane, and I don't want to get into it right now, how sick they really are behind the scenes and what they have done. And then we've heard that there are women that are in camps, if you will, underground, that are impregnated to bring forth babies without documentation so that they could be sent around the nations and the people could do what they want to do with them without any understanding of who these kids are. Yeah, it's deep, and I don't want to go there, but it balances out, and so I continue to read. I have used your enemies within your gates to expose what you would not, and you shall see the covers ripped off and the nakedness of your shame exposed. Now, let me just finish one thought. Not only did God say of Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, you were a fetus, I knew you. And before you came forth in your formation, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God ordains people in the womb. God knows who people are in the fetus condition. And we, the church in America, for the most part, and we, the patriots in America, for the most part, have been silent to the abortion industry in our nation and around the world, and have stood by since 1973 watching mass murder before our eyes, innocent blood being flushed down our toilets and in sinks and facilities, and that means the blood is flowing beneath our feet. And you know, the Old Testament is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I can imagine in the day of God's righteous judgment upon a nation who has rejected his grace, this isn't about covenants anymore. This is about a God of justice. Judicial justice, not just over Israel, not just over the church, but over the nations of the earth. He's going to judge what people have done. So he says, the leaders of America make their boast in their power and intelligence and are nothing short of the Babylonians in their day who boasted of their power. This is very interesting. This was written in October, talking about leadership in America, boasting about how smart they are. I will make the land dark and show my power, saith the Lord, for I am not a respecter of persons, and I hold no man in admiration except the man who does my will from the heart. All right, so God's going to be dealing with American leadership and show how stupid they really are, how foolish they really are. And we've seen it in our governors, and we've seen it in different echelons of power, that they were not able to put it off, and they were not able to get what needs to be done. And they've allowed the satanic movement in our nation to seize upon this crisis because it's an opportune season for them to continue to do what they want to do. I will first bind, and this is part of the prophecy where, you know, I was writing, and here's what it says. I will first bind three cities to the millstone and plunge them into darkness, saith the Lord. Los Angeles, New York, and Washington, D.C. So when I sit back and I think, all right, these three cities that we spoke about in October, Los Angeles, New York, and Washington, D.C. Well, Washington, D.C. is where the CDC is, the WHO. It's where the president is, our government. And have they been plunged into the darkness? Have they been plunged into darkness? Not understanding. Los Angeles, plunged into darkness. New York, definitely plunged into darkness. So I thought that was interesting. Your pride has deceived you, and now you are days away. Again, this is October 28th. You are days away from experiencing the madness that you have sown to the ends of the earth. I called you to repentance, but you would not. Again, prophetic word written October 28th, shared on this broadcast that same day. You could go back and look at the 27th, the 28th, 29th, somewhere in there. You're going to find this word. Look, the prophecy goes on to say, listen. The sound of a millstone coming from the skies, plunging the nation into the depths of the sea. Darkness. Silence. Wow, quarantined. Silent streets. A new era begins in the purpose of God. The new normal everybody's talking about today. And then I wrote some scriptures out here with the prophecy. Job 21:30. For the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. I'll be brought out on the day of wrath. Wow. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Jeremiah 11:17. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. And that's a word for America today, the Judeo-Christian nation, that God planted this nation. And then we turned from him and we did evil and we have provoked the Lord to anger. Jeremiah 17:17. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. Let that be the cry of your heart in this hour in which we live. And remember, the coronavirus, I believe, is only the first wave of this prophecy. The three waves that are coming are going to plunge this nation into the darkness. And I believe it's underway, and I don't think anything is going to stop it. That's my understanding of what God is revealing. Jeremiah 17:18, let them be ashamed who persecute me, but do not let me be put to shame. That needs to be your heartbeat in this hour. Let them be dismayed, but do not let me be dismayed. Bring on them the day of doom and destroy them with double destruction. Now, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, but when he saw the injustices of his nation, he asked God to bring double doom and double destruction on them. He saw the justice of God, and the justice of God is coming upon this nation and around the world, no doubt. We get the double portion of wrath because we know better. We're the Judeo-Christian nation. Jeremiah 19:15, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city and on all her towns all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words. Again, God pronounced judgment against the United States many years ago. I can mark from my own writings when he really began to let me know what was coming upon this nation. It was in 1998, 1999, when I started to write, because I was getting visions in my dreams at night, and I was being awakened in the middle of the night about an underground monster that was ready to rise. Something was moving in the underworld, and I was writing, trying to figure it was, and then 9/11 came, and suddenly Islam was appearing around the world, supposedly 2001, the 9/11 attack. And I'm going to leave that there, but I've been writing ever since and seeing some pretty amazing things. Now, Jeremiah 26:13. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. So we've been given a lot of time, and there have been a lot of words spoken. And I'm telling you, when my book is compiled, or the letters that I've written, the prophetic words, when it's compiled into a book, we're going to share that book with anybody that wants to hear it. And you're going to see the things that were written are being fulfilled in this nation. And maybe this is just another, you know, call of the Spirit of God, who is a merciful, loving Father to the nation. Repent. Repent, America. Humble yourselves. Get out of your political stuff and stop thinking that your economy matters to me. Your economy does not matter to God, America. Would you agree, saints? What matters to God is our righteousness. You don't murder little babies. You don't have men marrying men. You don't have pedophiles running rampant within society, inviting all the world leaders to have sex with little girls and boys. You don't do that. You don't let Hollywood pour out their blasphemy and their filth. You don't do that. Our nation is corrupt, and yet we weren't always this way. We were not always this way. It was against the law for them to use the word damn. And when Gone with the Wind came and they used the word, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn, it shocked the nation. It was against the law to have an abortion. It was against the law to have pornography in our country. And it was against the law to commit a homosexual act. It was against the law. But in one generation, we've been turned into hell. We've been turned into hell, and we've allowed it incrementally, little by little, and we got silent. And the prophets went away, and the watchmen left the watchman's wall. And anybody that cried out against it was deemed loony, radical. But guess what? The truth is being revealed, right? So we move on, Jeremiah 26:19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. You see, America has done great evil against itself. And we didn't fear the Lord. We didn't repent. Now, what is repentance? I'm sorry, God, for murdering through our legislation 90 million babies and sending taxpayer dollars of the American citizens around the world to slaughter 500 million. We're sorry. That's not enough. Being sorry. Repentance is turn the other direction. Stop it. Sorry, God, for saturating our society with pornography, of every filthy, illicit thing that warps men's minds and brings them into perdition. Sorry, not enough. You make it illegal again. Oh, but that's against our amendments. It was illegal before this generation, before the argument came. There were no good arguers, I guess. And then you go on down the list. Lord, we're sorry for legislating in the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States, that men could marry men. Sorry, it's not enough. It's not enough to say, I'm sorry. Repentance. Now, Jeremiah 35:17, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the United States of America in our modern days, all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. I have called to them, but they have not answered. I will punish him, his family, his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of America, and on the inhabitants of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them, but they did not heed. That was Jeremiah 36:31. A few more verses. Jeremiah 42. The captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place, referring to Jerusalem. Jeremiah 51:2. And I will send winnowers to Babylon, who shall winnow her and empty her land, for in the day of doom, they shall be against her all around. That's what's happening as we speak. Ezekiel 7:7, doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come, a day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Ezekiel 7:10, behold the day, behold it is come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. And finally, Amos 6:3. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who caused the seed of violence to come near. The Millstone Prophecy, October 28th, 2019. Our nation has been plunged into darkness. And it's only just begun. The same ministers on television, wherever they are, that were crying peace and safety all these years to a nation who sinned against God, and they brought the delightful, pretty word, oh, everything will be okay. America is going to be okay. Now we're in the condition we're in with 100,000 dead, and now they're trying to say again, everything's going to be okay. We're going to come out of this better than we were before. and they're teaching that same stuff. Now, listen, I'm not opposed to the blessing of the Father in my life, and I hope you're not opposed to his blessing either. I'm not opposed to God's favor in my life and the joy of the Lord and health and his prosperity and his blessing. I am not opposed. I have, with my wife, an abundant life. We have been given the greatest church on this earth to pastor and serve. We have friends around us. We have a ministry, an assignment in these last days to fulfill. We have an abundant life. But that doesn't tell me to go tell this nation who has sinned against God that everything's going to be all right, because I'm not trying to fleece the nation to get myself on television or to go in the limelight of a television station. No. In fact, we're not invited onto television because of the message that we carry. And that's okay. God has provided another avenue to speak the truth. Why? He wants his people to be prepared for what is coming. And because we had been in preparation for years, we just went through the first wave like it didn't even exist. It meant nothing to us. While many church people around us scattered, they went to their homes, they hid. They won't even come out. And if they do, it's got to be this, that, and the other thing. And that's fine for them. But that's not our reality. This thing had nothing to do over us. We were told we were in a Goshen, so we took God at his word. There was light in Goshen, darkness in Egypt. There's a plague in Egypt. There's no plague in Goshen. So we didn't respond to the crises like everybody else did. Even right here in Northwest Arkansas, we were one of maybe, I don't know, I heard of one other church that was open. But we never were a cavalier spirit. The people that are embarrassed because of their cowardice, quite frankly, tried to accuse us of being what? Cavalier, proud. And that was so far from the truth. We just kept walking. Yeah, I think God has spoken through this word. I really do. And I believe that the millstone has barely begun, and that this nation will be plunged. And I felt very led today to go back to the book of Amos, and I'm going to go there right now. The book of Amos, and I want to read to you in chapter 8, verse 1. Now, I want you to know something, okay? And this is the truth. This was no manipulation whatsoever. This was the truth. Last year in 2019, around March, April, I got this prophecy. And for most of the year, the rest of that year, I was prophesying Amos 8. It's coming. This is the prophetic word of the Lord. And then as the months were passing, something dawned in my mind. And I have to be very careful. No dates. We're not going there ever again. But it just had the richness that this thing was coming. And I was looking to the fall of 2019. But then something dawned in my mind. And I knew that the elections were going to be coming in 2020. It's like the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me a little opening of understanding to say, maybe this thing isn't going to happen in the fall of 2019. Maybe this is going to go into the 2020 season. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen in 2020, but I do believe this is the word of the Lord to our nation. And I want to read it with you. And again, you can go back to, I would start in April of 2019. You'll find so many videos and radio broadcasts about this conversation, Amos chapter 8. And what was really weird is that when I brought this up a few weeks ago, I had my brother, Ian Rood, with me on a radio station, and I started looking at Amos chapter 8, and he said, isn't that interesting? This year, we just lost an entire fruits and vegetables, crops and harvest. I thought, oh my God. Let's read it. Amos chapter 8, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. And again, this is an ancient prophecy. It has dual prophetic implications. And I believe that this is a prophetic word because we learned that what God did to nations back then, he will do to nations today. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's no argument that the words of the prophets stand today. The word of God, the new covenant, Jesus Christ, for those that come into him, they are taken out of this reality into another reality. I get that. But a nation that sins against God and rejects his son, these prophetic words, particularly over a Judeo-Christian nation, will be fulfilled. So he says, the end has come upon my people. I will not again pass by them anymore. So in other words, something was going to be released, was going to be final for that nation, Not the incremental birth pangs, one here, one here, one here, one here. We've been getting hit with birth pangs since 9/11/2001. So the hits have been coming strong. But he says, I'm not going to pass by anymore. You've brought it to the point of no return. Now, in 2003, I wrote a prophetic word that America has crossed the point of no return. I lost a lot of friends on that one because Father God said to me, do not pray for this nation. Pray for the saints of God that they will be able to navigate through the storm that lies ahead. So every time there was a prayer meeting for America, I was excluded. I could not go and I would not pray for this nation. I found in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, that God actually told Jeremiah, was one of them, don't pray for this nation. And Jesus said, I do not pray for the world, I pray for my people. So I saw the confirmation of the word of the Spirit. And so I have never prayed for America. I want to, like everybody else, I want to pray, but God said no. So I've been watching since 2003, which is now 17 years, that America that passed the point of no return, has it ever come back? And it's never come back. It's become increasingly worse, and the judgments are increasingly harsher, i.e. coronavirus, COVID-19, or whatever it is. Come on. So the word of God is prevailing against the peace and prosperity thing that's going on. You want peace and prosperity? Have faith in Jesus Christ in a relationship. Love him with all your heart. Get heavenly minded and understand there is separation intended when you're born again. Now, he says this in verse 3, the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. And I look up the word howlings, and it's the yalal. And it means literally to howl with a wailing tone, a boisterous wailing tone. Literally, howlings in the temple of God. I look at these empty churches everywhere today. And I read this here, and it says, the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. It was eerily reminiscent of when the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, said he went by one of the hospitals in Queens, I think it was, where he grew up, and they were taking the dead bodies, multitudes of dead bodies, out of the hospital, putting them in freezer trucks. With silence, they were taking the dead bodies out. Now you say, well, that's not a church. And we're talking about our nation right now. Okay, we're talking about our nation, the Judeo-Christian nation called America, and the ecclesia within this nation. There's a nation within the nation. So he says, there will be many dead bodies in every place. Thought that's very interesting. And then, as I kept reading, it shows the reasons why, because of the injustices that were being committed in the land. And the injustices that are referred to in Amos's prophecy are small in comparison to the injustices that are being practiced in our country today. Let me just put it that way. You could read about those injustices, falsifying balances, not taking care of the will. Well, what we have done in the injustices are far beyond. So this prophecy is still there. And then in verse 8. In Amos chapter 8, verse 8, shall not the land tremble for this? The word tremble is the ragaz in the Hebrew, and it literally means to quiver with any violent emotion, especially anger or fear. It means to provoke, to quake, to shake, to trouble. I believe America is going to see more trouble than it's ever dreamed. And we've seen some trouble going on. Shall not the land tremble for this injustice, and everyone mourn that dwells therein? Everyone will mourn. It's the aval. It means to lament. It means to be languid or walk with the head cast down. Are we not witnessing the beginning of that right now in our nation? All over the nation. Masks on, heads down, lamentation, we want out. Well, and it shall rise. This is the Amos 8:8. It shall rise up holy as a flood. So this mischief is going to rise like a flood. Isaiah 47 again. And it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. So this thing that's coming, that's going to cause the land to tremble, it's going to be brought on and it's going to overwhelm. And you're seeing that overwhelming right now. Verse 9, Amos chapter 8, verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. My personal understanding of this part of the prophecy is that that will be within the context of the fourth wave. I believe the fourth wave that comes upon our nation will be the darkening. I believe this is consistent with what God revealed to me 28 years ago when I was taken up into space. I don't have experiences like that, but I was in space and I was looking all around and it was dark. I looked down, I began to descend, and I could see the earth. As I continued to descend, I could see the North American continent. When I got closer to the North American continent, I noticed that it was dark. There was a little light here and a little light there and a little light here scattered throughout the nation. And I told you the story. I landed in Boston. I heard a man walking. He was terrified. Went to a house where the light was on. He wanted to go in, but the man of God said no. I went in by the Spirit into the living room of that house. The most beautiful music, the golden oil, person on a couch, seven or eight people praying over that person. The glory of God was there. The man of God did not let that man come in to quench the spirit. God says in Isaiah 4:5, I believe it is, that he will set a defense upon the glory, around the glory, and the glory shall be upon every house in Israel that carries the obedience, the love of God. That's when I finally realized at a certain time in my ministry that God had called us to home fellowships. In the 1990s, Patricia and I traveled this country and we started home fellowships from Jersey City, New Jersey to California. We sent pastors out to those places. The work was tested. We came back. We continued our pastoral ministry. We've been going ever since. We are now living in the days where this prophetic reality is becoming more and more clear to my heart. We are ready to go. We are selling. We're asking people if you want some, if you want us to come, we will bring the word of the Lord. We will, whether it's in conference and then breaking it down into home fellowships, we believe this is part of God's plan, which we will share when we get to where we're going. So I will darken the earth in the clear day. I believe that refers to an electromagnetic pulse or a CME, a coronal mass ejection, or a solar flare. I believe that it can be done through software, electronics, whatever. I believe God's going to do it. And he's going to allow it to happen within the context of this phase of judgment. What happens when the lights go out? You could only imagine. You could only begin to imagine no electricity in the United States of America. And if it lasted for 6 months, if it lasted for 1 month, the projections from the Homeland Security, 1 month, lights out in America, 1 month. 30 million people dead. 3 months? Starvation? Hunger? Food shortages? No electricity? Remember we were talking about how the ability of the super elite to shut the electricity off for the general population, but they would maintain through 5G network or power or whatever, an ability to protect their critical infrastructure so they're always in control? And when they're ready and they've depopulated the nation or nations to the part they want, they turn it back on. The people rise up out of the darkness, and now they're coming into a brand new system. In the prophecy I wrote in October, it says a new era begins in the economy of God and the purposes of God. God's purpose and determination is revealed in Zephaniah chapter 3. It is my determination, verse 7 and 8, to gather the nations, to assemble the kingdoms, that I may pour on them my fury and my wrath. God's allowing the one world government to rise. It is going to be a time of tribulation and persecution, but he's going to pour out his wrath. In Revelation 16, we see the seven vials of the wrath of God being poured out in the eternal purpose of God. We're getting very close for God to fulfill his word. Now, it says in Amos 8:10, and here's why I came up with the fall. It starts with a summer basket of fruit. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. You know, when I saw that man with the police officer with his knee on his neck and he killed him, that was a bitter day. That was a bitter day. And I'm telling you what, if I were part of that reality, I could tell you, without the Holy Spirit of God governing my life, that I would have joined that crowd. And it would be I understand the emotion. That's why God says, do not walk in the emotions. Do not let your emotions take over. It will fail every single time. So the Lord is talking about a bitter day. And that word bitter in the Hebrew is the mar. And it just means, listen to this, angry, discontented, chafed, bitterness, acrid. It's not good. It's not good. The acid of violence. Second wave on the way, and you and I need to be prepared. We do not need to be put back to sleep by the fairy tales that are being talked and taught to the church. The fairy tales. You're about to encounter something on this earth. You need to understand it. If you have questions, you ask, or you ask, you study. Would God allow? You study. Pray, fast. Gather together and pray and fast. Humble yourself, and I will humble myself. Understand what's coming. There are many things I want to do in my life. There are things yet I would really like to accomplish. And yet, I look at my life and I see if I accomplish this, if I get this done, if I do that, what vanity it really is. Because we live at a time where anything could disappear in a moment. And how we deal with things is more important than the things themselves. How do you get to a place in your heart where you feel the grief of the Holy Spirit? How do you get to a place in your heart where you feel when you're aware of something? I'm not talking about things that put fear in your heart and drama. I'm talking from God's perspective in prophecies like this, where God says, that's it, it's done. You need to get ready because I'm bringing it. In the days of Jeremiah, he told his prophet Jeremiah, it's done. You need to tell the people. Anybody that wants to hear and repent and get on my side, great. But it's coming. And it did come. It absolutely did come. They will come again, and it's around us. And the Spirit of the Lord is utilizing the Word of God, because the Word and the Spirit are one, and he's retelling the story again. He's warning us again. So how do you and I live at a time like this? What do we do? I'm not going to live in fear, and neither are you. But what I don't want to entertain is being offended, being emotional, being fleshly and carnal, or double-minded. What a terrible time to be double-minded. I want to have faith to move mountains. I want to have a leadership in my life where I could walk, and anybody that would follow would be navigated into the safety of Christ. I want to bring people to the great shepherd, Jesus, so that they could follow him in their journey. I want to let people understand and know. What do we want? We want to be guided, full of faith, full of love, because we're living in an environment that's going to have pure hatred, satanic hatred, anger, violence, Nazi Germany times a million. Nazi Germany times a million in the fury of Satan that's coming to this earth. The Bible tells us he's coming. Your church pastor told you you wouldn't be here if you happen to be part of that end time reality. You wouldn't be here. He told you that. How are you going to prepare for the level of hatred if you never expected to be here and you never dealt with the innermost parts of your being where the defiles are, the deep files, if unattended, will destroy your destiny in Christ, because the love of many will wax cold in the last days. And there will be a falling away, an apostasy in the last days. People will hate one another and betray one another in the last days. Let us not be children anymore in our understanding. It may not have come to your neighborhood yet, but if you were living in Minneapolis, your store was just burned to the ground, the flares are going off, and you could just sense the gathering that's rising. I personally believe terrorism is going to strike. They're going to play the terror card again. And I believe you're going to see it. A terror card is going to be played again. It's like in the deck, a terror card, along with anarchy. And as we get closer into the summer, and we start going through this summertime, and we get closer to the elections of the fall, I believe this prophecy is very clear. Your feast will be turned into mourning, your songs into lamentation. There's a woe coming upon our earth. There's a woe coming. In fact, we're in the book of Revelation right now where we're getting to talk about the three woes that follow the four winds. So what is the good news? I mean, I can hear people saying, what is the good news? Well, you tell me. I know the good news for me. That God is in my life. His hands are upon me. He has every right to guide me in any direction he wants, and I want him to. He could say anything he wants through me. He could do anything he wants through me. He could put me and subject me to death. He could take everything he's given me away if he wants to. He could have it all. All I know is at the end of the day of my life, my spirit is knit tied to the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and my Father in heaven. Nothing else matters, because my life will never be fulfilled on this earth. I know that the eternal purpose of God for my existence is in the spirit, eternal. So I am not living in the realm of sight, feel, touch, and see, because I've been told by the wisdom of the Apostle Paul that everything that you could see, feel, touch is temporary. And I don't want to live in the temporary world getting all I can, because I know what vanity it really is. I am going for the eternal. I am running for the gold. I am running for the hundredfold. And I pray to God that the people that I'm ministering to are also running for the hundredfold, running for the gold, and have put away the nonsense of living for the temporary, which means giving up your life and following Jesus wherever he wants to take you. And we sit before the Lord in fear and trembling at times and say, Lord, you have blessed me so much. You've given me life. You've kept me healthy in my life. You've kept me healthy. I didn't die of this disease or this plague or that flu or that cold. Lord, you have kept me healthy. You have given me a roof over my head, a car to drive, clothes on my back, food in my stomach. Lord, thank you. Thank you. And I'm still going to pursue you. But like the disciples of old, they were blessed. They moved around the earth, but at the end of their lives, they were buried and they were dragged through the city streets of Greece. They were burned at the stake. They were turned upside down. They were sawn asunder. They were put on the island of Patmos after being dipped in oil. Oh, they experienced an abundant life, but the end of their lives was to lay them down. And if we're holding on to anything in this world as so important, and we're not willing to lay it down, and I know it could, it's really a tough deal if you're attached to it. So we're learning to detach. The only thing we should really be considering attaching to are the people in our lives that God has knit tied our hearts together. Because that is always in the eternal purpose of God, to be knit tied, a singular body of Christ, the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. Your husband and your wife, you should knit tie and become one. And there's only one body, and we should have the same care for one another. And as we would have men do unto us, we should do unto them. Love should be given to the body of Christ first, after God, of course, to the household of faith first. And wherever God knits our hearts with the body of Yeshua, that's what we should be fighting to keep together. Fight to keep your marriage together. Fight to keep your homes together. Fight to keep the fellowship of the brethren together. Fight for it. Labor for it. Exhaust yourself for that, but not for the things of this world. Houses, cars, money, clothes, whatever. That's not worthy, because the relationship with one another is eternal. The stuff of the world is not. It's temporary. And that eternal relationship is not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. We are to know one another by the spirit. We are to love one another by the spirit. Now, see, people think somehow this is really bad news that we're preaching here today. It's sobering, but it's not bad if you're on the right side of the day. You can still go out and love everybody you meet today. Love them. Give to the poor man. Minister to the hurting. Give your life. Share it. Pour it out. Give Jesus to everybody around you. Stand on a corner one day and shout, "Wake up!" Do something with your life that God puts in your heart to do. I know what God's put in my heart. Starting home fellowships, starting them, going there in our weakness, in our total inability, because we do not have a sophisticated formula. All we know is what God showed us. Start home fellowships. Put godly men in those homes. Anoint them and bless them, and let them care for the people that will come. Let them pray for the supernatural healings and miracles. Raise up godly men who love Jesus, that will do it for nothing other than the glory of Christ, if need be. I know what Father wants, and I'm not going to listen to the rhetoric that everything's going to be okay, because I didn't listen to it when they were saying it before, and I'm not going to listen to it now. But I'm not going to live in doom and gloom for me. I want to bring people out of the doom and gloom that's coming on the earth and bring them into Goshen, an environment created by God Almighty. He does not have to take us out of this earth to preserve us. Throughout the history of the nation of Israel and the church, he has preserved his people by a mighty hand. And he always wants light and a witness and a testimony. So we're not going to swallow the bait of doctrines that are not consistent with the word of God. And we're going to live cautiously. We're not walking around with our chest stuck out. I'm saved. No. Endure to the end. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and be sober. Come on, folks. I know you know all of these things. I know you do. So, I'm going to stop for just a moment. Where are we at here? Let's go to our message board. I don't know what y'all are saying out there. Let's take a look real quick. We're going to go to Facebook and YouTube. And again, we said good morning to everybody out there. So let's go on down here and see if there's confirmation. I say, Misty says, do now, Okay, so something good is happening there. We have some amens. Good morning, Pastor Vince. Brenda, good morning to you. Again, Carol, Carrie, good morning to you as well. God bless you. And Chuck, you're out there today. God bless you. We're talking good morning, Vinny Pots and Pans. Please remember to hit the like button. Yes, it's so evil, Brenda says. Chuck says amen. We have Misty saying judgment starts with the church. I believe we have been complacent for over 30 years, and we too are under judgment because of our lack of prayer and repentance. You are so right on, Misty. You're absolutely right about that. Chuck saying Sodom is an evil we're an evil nation. We've done it. We're hearing some good reports here. Repentance is a verb. It's an action word. Joseph Reynolds is weighing in. Hi, Vincent. I invited my friend to your show. I hope he starts watching. Been trying to show him how vile times we are in. I think you're right on for doing a joke. God bless you. Ian is weighing in and says, Target and AutoZone looted and burned down in Minneapolis last night. Looters have been shot by police and National Guard activated to control Black Lives Matter riots, all following the George Floyd incident where a white police officer knelt and detained and subdued a black man's neck until he was dead. The country is a tinderbox. Time for prayer in unity. God's righteousness judgment is about to fall on America. Anarchy has hit our shores. Wave two is here. God help us. I totally believe that's the truth. Joseph says, second wave coming. Within 6 months, lock up, beware, stock up, prayers. All right, so again, we're getting some confirmations. We got some amens. Phil Scheider and Bill Cooper did a lot to wake up the watchmen. Brave men of God they were. Well, I hope I'd like to meet Phil and Bill one day and know who they are. And Misty's talking about the COVID is certificate of vaccine ID. And then the numbers 1 and 9. 1, the first letter is A, is, and then the ninth letter in the alphabet is I, AI, artificial intelligence, COVID-19. Okay, so Vinny says, I heard the Pope will invite all religious leaders to the world, to the Vatican this September or October to make one world religion. Is he the false prophet? Well, if he does that, then he's certainly in the candidacy. He's a candidate, isn't he? I believe there's a number of false prophets everywhere. Is he the false prophet? We'll see. I've always thought maybe Muhammad or in the Islamic realm, but who knows? It's an it's something we could search out and study. And then we know. What do you think the mission is for the two astronauts going up to space? And you know, yesterday, I think someone said, hey, there's a, at 4 o'clock, there's a space launch. Nothing happened in my spirit. Didn't even mention it. And then it was canceled. And now it's happening during Shavuot. Woo. What is that? 3 p.m. our time in Arkansas, 4 o'clock in Cape Canaveral, Florida. So Saturday, the season of Shavuot. Whoa, that's amazing. Spaceship going into space. I still don't know what it means, but it seems pretty amazing. Misty says, thank you. Was wanting to ask what you thought fourth wave was. Okay, we were talking about that, which I believe it is. Earth will be dark. Good morning to Denny and Sally. God bless my dear friends. Shalom to you. Chuck is saying, so wave two is showing itself now. So you are right on. It is. It's starting to show itself. I believe it is real. The civil unrest is showing up, Chuck says. Brenda, yes, it is. We have some more. Chuck says, yes, it's so much deeper than what they teach nowadays with their fake prosperity. I agree. Vinny Pots and Pans, please remember, Saints, hit the like or the thumbs up button. Thank you, Vinny, for caring about our ministry. We appreciate it. Cindy says, she's moving on in faith. Yes, we need to have a lot of faith. And let's see, what other comments do we have? That's true. Okay, it has begun. And here we go. Completely surrender to Jesus by Cindy. I totally agree. This is the time to completely do that. So many things to be thankful for. I agree. We're moving on. We're moving on. We're blessed. Yes, we are. Praise God. And my dear brother Ray is out there. He's saying it's so blessed to hear the truth. Amen. And then Michael John comes up with, let's stay above water that this second wave does not drown us in confusion. Very good and well-spoken, Brother Michael. So those are our comments right now on the line. There's some calls coming in. on Blog Talk Radio. So let's go ahead and take a few calls before we move forward. Let's go ahead and we'll put on the wonderful earplugs here, and we're going to tune in to 479-855-2584. Pastor Ken Wagner, good morning. God bless you, sir. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Another day to go ahead and make our way towards heaven.
Amen. Amen. To get it right.
You got it. You know, Pastor, I can't help but think as listening to you talk this morning that we make heaven and hell on this earth right now, the beginnings of it. I remember that story about Bill Weiss when he talked about his 23 minutes in hell. And one of the points that he made on there was that there are different levels of hell as well, things that we have done. So we today have the choice. We can actually begin to live in hell, so to speak, by the actions and things that we do on this earth. And by the same token, we can begin to build our home in heaven the same exact way. And the choice is ours. Which way will we go? When we stand before the Lord, will we be held accountable for the evil deeds that we have done because we've never chosen Jesus as our Lord and Savior? And by the same token, by the actions and deeds that we have done on this earth, when we come up before the Lord, in a good sense, you know, will our reward be dependent upon that as well? I believe so, and it's time for action because it's getting too late in this realm. We have to make the choices now and begin to determine exactly where we're going to be with the Lord. And we want to be with the Lord, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord and be with the Lord. And that's what we need to begin to go ahead and do, and make the hard choices now and take a strong stand, or else we will suffer the consequences.
Absolutely. Well said. And that really agrees, Pastor Ken, with what was said in Amos, or in Jeremiah, actually, where he said, "You have brought this evil upon yourselves." In other words, they created the environment to bring hell on earth. And we've done that. And that is because of the very intended and the very purposeful satanic priesthood that is in this earth. The enemy knew years ago, saturate this United States with pornography and we'll beat them. It was an employed weapon of mass destruction in a very silent way. My God, they have created hell on earth so that they could prepare the stage for Satan to come to this world, Lucifer, to be worshipped, which is his dream from the beginning of time. You're absolutely right. God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much. Anything else you would like to share?
Nope. Give the other people a chance to share that as well.
All right, Pastor Ken. Love you so much. God bless your heart, my friend.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you too.
All right. All right, Pastor Ken Wagner weighing in on the issue. We have a telephone number right now. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube and you'd like to just kind of share your thoughts about what God is revealing to you, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. We'd love to hear your voice. And of course, you have to press 1 on your dial pad in order for us to hear you. So make sure if you're listening on a computer, you turn the sound down. If you're on the phone, just press 1 and we'll bring you right into the broadcast. I want to ask you a question. We had a conversation today. We talked, we shared God's word. We balanced it. We know there's good news. We know that eternal life is our lot, but we know that anybody that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You cannot be a follower of Christ in this world and not suffer persecution. And through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God. We know that tribulation is coming upon the earth. We know persecution is already here. It's already here in different places around the world. It's focusing on this country right now. If we never had an opportunity to talk again, if we, after this broadcast, were shut down, are you going to stay in the Word? Or are you going to allow influences to come around you and pull you back into old style thinking? What's going to happen to your mind if you're not filled? And I'm not saying that this ministry is, you know, I'm just one of pieces of dust. I get that. I'm just saying, If ministries like these were to cease, how would you be? Corrie ten Boom, when she went to the Nazi concentration camps, she was already prepared and educated. And when the time came that she was in the Nazi concentration camps, she couldn't turn on a radio and hear a broadcast. She couldn't turn on a computer. They didn't even have them in those days. She couldn't go to church into the chapel in the Nazi gulags, right? They couldn't go to chapel. Maybe somebody smuggled a Bible in. I don't know. I don't think that was part of the story. But she had the word of God in her heart. Now, her sister, according to her story, she died and gave up her faith. Corrie ten Boom, while in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany, did everything she knew with what had been downloaded in her to keep people encouraged in their faith in Jesus Christ. The days may come that you won't have anybody around you. Probably most of the people in that Nazi concentration camp were very depressed, and that is a pressure. How would you build yourself up in your most holy faith when everybody around you is just giving up? They're being tortured and persecuted, and horrible things happen in those concentration camps. They're being starved. They're being humiliated. They're being disgraced. How will you stand? How will I stand when our friends aren't to our left or to our right? How will we be when we're together? Now, I've seen some incredible stories about people during the Ukrainian persecution that went into the prisons and they broke bread naked in the cell with nothing, skin, bones, and yet they had some bread and something to drink and they had communion and worshiped the Lord. This is where you and I have to be. The stripping away, the removing of all the insulation is coming. All the facade is taken away until we are bare before the Lord and there's nothing but Jesus. He's in your heart. Love him. Draw near to him. Now, Corrie ten Boom, when she got out of the Nazi, you know, her paperwork was messed up. She supernaturally got out. God must have really been with her in that Nazi concentration camp to encourage everybody, try to keep their faith alive. She, at the last moment, had something happen with her paperwork. She was released. And then came the heroes of the world in those days, the Americans. The Americans were the heroes of the world. At a time when it was illegal to have abortion, pornography, homosexuality, and all this garbage, we were the heroes of the world. Oh, to be a warrior in those days and to have gone to Germany and to have overthrown the satanic empire. We're in a different day now. But Corrie ten Boom, she came out of the concentration camps. Her ministry was to travel around the world and to wake up the church. And when she came to America, she said, "My God, this is a sleeping church. These are a people that are slumbering in their luxury and their prosperity. They are fat and they are rich. They have more than most people on the face of the earth will ever know. But they are asleep." And she tried to wake it up. And in one of her flights throughout the nation, she was sound asleep in her seat on a plane. She was having a dream or a vision. And she suddenly awoke. And she called the stewardess and said, "Where are we?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "Would you go check?" She went and she checked with the pilot. She came back. She said, "We're over Northwest Arkansas." And she said, in telling her story, "I had a dream at that precise moment of angels, towering, massive angels with unsheathed swords." And she said, "Northwest Arkansas will be a refuge in the last days." One of the prophecies that I heard before showing up in Northwest Arkansas from a very tall black man in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where I had spoken at a conference, who came up to me after a whole bunch of stuff that went on. And he asked me, now, do you know where to go when everything collapses in this country? And I finally gave him the answer. He said there was a 100-year-old prophecy that in the last days, America would be in a crisis and there would be war going on throughout the perimeter of the nation. There would be turmoil within the nation. Dmitry Dudeman talked about the internal strife, and then the outside nations would see their opportunity to attack. He said at that time, this prophecy said Christians will be gathering into the middle of the country, and there's a very specific place that they will go. And there will be a gathering of Christians throughout the nation into this place while war breaks out on our land. And there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this very specific place. And the saints of God will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the glory of God will come, and there will be an expression while all this negativity is going on around and about. And he said, that place is Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And it was interesting because I had never been to Arkansas before except earlier in the month of May. I met him in August 2005. In May of 2005, I was in Eureka Springs, Arkansas with my Uncle Paul and my Aunt June. I'd been searching out. If ever God told us to leave Southern California, where would we go? And through meetings like these, I was convinced that it was time to leave California. We would come to Northwest Arkansas. I had been there with my aunt and uncle in 2005. We showed up in Northwest Arkansas in October of 2009. I walked through the fire for 5 years. God was doing a deep, deep cleanse in my life. And here we are. Here we are. The last days of May 2020. And we're here. And there are people across this country, they're going, man, I wish I wasn't living here. Are there Goshens throughout the earth? You bet there are. My prayer to God for you is that you're in one of them. My prayer to God for you is that you have found that unity, that fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Last night we had a debate in our church. It was awesome. We had this debate because, you know, we just argued a really amazing point. What day did Jesus die on the cross? Oh my gosh, did that send up fire flares? But at the end of the day, the love of God coated everything. And we're going to search out a lot of stuff. So we're not talking about everybody believes exactly the way that you believe, but there's an understanding of the times that we're living in, and people are genuinely walking with Yeshua. There's testimony in their lives. Holy Spirit is within them. Truth, cleaning up the character, getting rid of unclean things in the mind and in the heart, being washed in the water of the Word, allowing the crystal clear river of the Holy Spirit to move through our cellular structure, our DNA, our entire being, crystal clear river of life flowing through us, bringing reviving and restoration and healing, cultivation, development, fruitfulness, the work of God being done in our lives, daily going about and seeing the hand of God working in our lives and amongst our brethren. This is where we need to be. And when God says, now, I think it's important personally, if you live in Timbuktu and you have 7 or 8 or 70 or 80 people in your ecclesia, buy land, plant gardens, dig wells, get some energy and power. Pray if it's God's will, he'll put a dome over your area. Do something. Be proactive. Stop thinking that it's all going to be okay and you're going to go to the grocery store like you always have. You just saw that the potential for that not happening is real. So let the ecclesia gather together and do something together. Work together. People form friendships, deep bonds when they do projects together. Yes, I'm an advocate of these things. I'm an advocate of these things. Be led by the Holy Spirit, waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. I've got 10 minutes left in the broadcast. Would love to hear your thoughts. We're not going to get to the book of Revelation today. We're going to talk about the three woes, hopefully tomorrow. And if you get bored this weekend and you want to go back about 3 weeks or 2 weeks, find our beginning study on Revelation and listen to the videos on the book of Revelation. Get your Bible out. Take some notes. Study it. It's an awesome prophetic word that's being fulfilled before our very eyes. And we need to understand it. Got a call coming in right now from area code 855-4156. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. This is Brother Michael John.
Good morning, Brother
How are you this
Michael.
Morning? It's great to hear your voice.
It's great to hear your voice. How are you, man of God?
I'm doing fine. Hey, listen, I would encourage you, Pastor, to share that prophecy that was spoken. I forget the gentleman's name back in San Diego, that there'll be a beautiful like oil on the mantle and it'll start in the Midwest like a bonfire. You know that prophecy I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I think that'd be apropos concerning home fellowships. My heart, you know, you and I were birthed in home fellowships. And once again, just the being brought in out of nothing, wasn't raised a Christian, nothing whatsoever, and going into home fellowship, I said, this is different because I always used to see the big buildings as I drove by and everything else, but this atmosphere in a home fellowship, and I'm sure many have experienced it, but there's nothing like it. And I believe the direction that God is bringing to gather his saints into respective places in the Goshens is going to be in home fellowships. It's going to be places that are be so quaint and so nice and so intimate. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to get is such intimacy with his people. Because this is a time that I find out, Pastor Vincent, that we all are going to be tested and see how deep our love is, not only for one another, but for those that persecute us, for those that hate us, and what our responses are going to be, and what are we going to say. You know, I find that to be very important because I had an incident that happened to me in a little testimony to show me how deep my heart was, you know, and it was shallow, and it hurt me, and it caused me to walk away from the Lord for 10 years. And I found that that was just an opening of my eyes and everything and my condition that I need to get deeper into the cross, deeper into the Word, but most of all, a deeper love, because I don't think we really understand how important it is for the time that we're in this country that hasn't really tasted the severe persecutions that other Christians have in other countries. So that's the direction I'm asking my heart. Say, Lord, I want to be able to stand, and I know prophetically that he's going to do that for me, and I know that because he put it in me to be an overcomer in this earth, but I find in this time how important it is to be grounded and rooted in love.
Well, amen. And you do. You know what it's like to have things taken from you, and you have some deep understanding. I believe God's going to use testimony because he's freeing you up to go out and begin to do the work that God's put in your heart from the beginning, Brother Michael. And I know that's true. And God bless you. I appreciate you so much.
Amen.
Anything else you want to share?
That's what I love you. And God bless to all the brothers and sisters that I just want to encourage that we are the overcomers.
Hey! We'll take it.
Man.
God bless you. Shalom, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right. Michael is the gentleman that when we were talking about Ezekiel 14 on radio a while back ago, the four sword judgments, he said, well, from a surfing perspective, these four judgments would be likened unto four waves because they come in sets usually. And everybody waits for the last wave because it's the biggest. And so he said, this first wave is here. Then there will come three other waves. And we said, that's the word of God. Let's do it. We started saying it before anybody else did. Now everything's about the second wave, right? Everywhere you go. So God is speaking. He's talking to us. The number to call, 818-369-0326. I want to kind of start winding down and sharing with you. Wait, I've got another call coming in from area code 845. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Vincenzo, you know this is Vinnie Pots and Pans.
Hey, Vinnie Pots and Pans.
Hey,
how are you doing? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I just wanted to hit you up real quick and just say, you need to go a little longer with your show, man, because I think as you're like a train on the tracks and then you're gaining speed and, you know, just when you get as good that we could listen for another couple hours, then all of a sudden you're gone and you disappear.
Well, thank you. We'll pray about
that.
No,
I'm just serious. You know, I think in all honesty, I think you really need to – listen, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying what is entertaining and, you know, I mean, watching it and I'm just like – you know, it's like when you got to wait back in the day for that next episode that's going to be a week later. You know what I mean? It's like you just want us waiting for more. And I think maybe a two-hour standard show, we never really know how long you're going to go. But, you know, you're doing great, bro, and this is awesome. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and thank you for the very kind words. I will take that to prayer. The difference is that Patricia and I, we have a church that we pastor as well. And
yeah.
we do a lot of other stuff, so time is limited. But maybe if God wants it and the people want it, 2 hour, I just don't want it. You know, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You just got to know when to stop, right?
It's true. But when God is, like, shining a light onto more and more saints that you're reaching out to, which you're really doing in everybody's home, in your own home fellowship, you're really in my own home fellowship at the same time, you know. I mean, you are, beside having to go out, you know, take advantage of the technology because you're really reaching us all. And I know God sent me to you to be hanging out with you. And heck yeah, I love it, man. Are you kidding me?
Well, Vinny, I love that. And I love the fact that that's the reality. And I appreciate you telling everybody to subscribe and thumbs up. But I'll tell you what, I will deeply consider doing it if you'll ship to me a good pizza pie. Are there any good pizza pies out there? We're in Arkansas.
Oh, I would have to go back to Brooklyn for that one. Remember, I'm a little north of De Blasio land over there. And you know what? I don't even know how good those pizzas are nowadays down there now with him in charge and all the shit going on. Oh, sorry for cursing. You know, all that stuff going on.
You could always go to Jersey City, go to Vinny's Pizzeria.
Hey, it's a trifecta. Vincenzo, Vinny, and Vinny's Pizza. Look at that.
I love it.
No,
man.
I'm just serious and about saying that you're on point. I'm doing some construction here. I got guys at the house. They're listening to you at the same time, and they're like, how come nobody else knows about this guy? You know, and I'm like, well, you know, he's out there. I just came across you, and I'm just saying maybe not every day to conflict with Patricia's, you know, radio broadcast, but you know, for you personally and for her maybe, you know, I mean, just a little longer, I think, instead of cutting the sugar. Because everybody, and I have a feeling everybody would agree, every time you hear that computer voice, 90 seconds, everybody's like, oh, boo, we want more.
That's amazing. God bless you. Thank you so much.
And it's like Sonia said, it's like, you know, when there's two or more of gathering, God loves us talking about him. Jesus loves us talking about him. And that's what we need more of instead of you go away and then now everybody's going to go watch, you know, the stupid news channel. No, let's keep it going with this stuff, you know. I don't know. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I think you're provoking me. Okay, very good.
You're a great speaker. Whether you're doing this or maybe on the pastime when everything comes back to a different normal, you definitely are a news, not a news, but maybe, I don't know, like some kind of a newscaster or a for sports, though, for sports and your favorite ones, you know? But listen, you're keeping my construction guys here very entertained. All the time. And they're like, damn, how come he's only like, you know, real
hey,
quick.
Vinny, send those construction guys out to Arkansas and let's build some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you know, well, God, like you said, everybody's got to have their, you know, get your house in order first and, you know, build your own Goshens. And trust me, I got the Goshen here. So, you know, we got to get it all tightened up. So this way we can communicate and say, hey, all right, listen, when we have to bring the herd down to Arkansas, all right, everybody can gather up here first, whatever, and then I'll truck them down in my truck, and we'll get to you, and we'll have a big steak.
I love it. We've got some excellent. I got to be careful about this. We have some guys that are excellent in their craft that are doing an amazing work right now. I can't get into it here, but God bless you. God bless the builders, and I appreciate your friendship. That was a very kind thing you said today. And so,
no, God bless you. Don't worry about me. Thank you, Vincenzo, really, because, you know, I was like, who is this guy, Vincenzo? And then God, and it's, like I said, it's God hooking up with other saints who are just, I told you in the first call, I would be, you know, if you would have told me a year ago I'd be on the phone with you, I'd be like, this is crazy. But it's not crazy, and I know I'm not. So, you know, and you know my background. So,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
But you're doing great. But I'm just saying, we want more. We want more Vincenzo.
You got it.
All right, brother.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much again. God bless
you. Hey,
your heart,
and shout out to Ian and shout out to Brother Michael out there. Those guys are always on, Michael. And I just want to say hello. And I'll work on that pizza for you. I won't forget. I'll work on that pizza. Hey, listen, I could do a real good homemade one myself. So.
Okay. Well, look, it's the water.
All right.
I know it's the water. All right, Vinny.
Yeah, it is. All right, Vincenzo.
All right. Blessings
to you.
Bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Vinny and his ministry is Pots and Pans, and you can check it out on YouTube. Vinny Pots and Pans. You'll find some stuff he's doing. What a kind thing to say. We'll be back tomorrow, and hopefully tomorrow, maybe we'll go 2 hours. If we want to do it. Let's hope we're all here tomorrow. And in the meantime, Scarlett Dill just came in. Hello, Scarlett. Thank you for your message today. You are welcome. God bless your heart. We're going to let it go. Remember, Shavuot is coming. And if you would like to support this radio station, this ministry, and you would like to send an offering, your Shavuot offering, we would love to receive it. We'll raise it before the Lord and bless the Lord. If you'd like to support this ministry in any way, you can do that by simply going to our website at New Wine Ministry or nwmglobal.org. It's on the screen right now, nwmglobal.org under donations tab. I got to go. I'll see you tomorrow. Shalom, everybody. We love you. Peace.